This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today with part number 2 of the message that we started in March 2021. This is for April 2021. This is the second part of our message, A Ship of Fools. This is the final part of this message, with our subject scripture being taken from the 14th number of Psalms, verse number 1, Psalms 14 and 1, saying, "The fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." Now, when I left off last month, I was describing my state of mind before I came to the full knowledge of Christ, as the Bible said that I should. I mentioned that I was aware of God because of my upbringing. As a child, I was raised in the church, as they say. However, being aware of God or Christ and knowing Him on a personal level are two entirely different things. Again, using myself as an example, there are people that I know only to the point that they are acquaintances that I can say I am aware of their existence because I have met them personally, or in the case of social media, they have become friends of mine, and that is about all that I know about them. No one can come to me and inquire about them as to how they behave. Are they nice people? Do they have any sort of antisocial tendencies or behavior? How were they as children? And all the other sorts of personal things which I would have no idea of because I don't know them personally, or know them that well. There are others, on the other hand, outside of my direct family, that I could give a more detailed description to some of their those questions, only because I have spent a lot of time with them and they have discussed their lives openly with me. However, here again, I can only give you what they told me or what I have personally seen. However, when it comes to my direct family, brothers, sisters, wives, children, parents, and such, I could give you a far greater picture of who and what they are because of our close personal knowledge of each other. What makes the difference? The amount of time that I spent with them. You can't really know someone personally in passing. You have to spend time, a lot of time, with them. When I was a youngster, up until I graduated from high school, I spent Sundays going to church in the mornings, coming home, changing clothes, and hitting the streets, running with my friends. The latter part I did all the rest of the week until the next Sunday. That was my daily routine until summer, when I participated in Vacation Bible School, and that only lasted for about 2 weeks. My point is, out of all that time, I spent maybe 2 to 5% of it getting to know about God, and most of the time that I was in church, I wasn't really listening to the sermons as much as I was goofing around. So as you can see, I was seriously lacking in my knowledge of God. This is one of the main reasons why, when I hear someone saying they were raised in the church, I don't really pay that much attention to it. Being in church means nothing if you aren't learning enough about God to want to be more in line with what He says. And in order to do that, you have to have that desire in your heart. As the Apostle Paul so eloquently put it in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, he says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death." The word know, K-N-O-W, in this passage is used to describe an intimate knowledge of someone. You know what intimate is, don't you? It is a term used to describe a relationship that a man has with a woman, hopefully as husband and wife. Well, that is the type of relationship Paul is describing. Now, when a man and a woman become intimate, the two, in effect, become one. If you will recall what happened when God created the woman, she was taken out of the man, so to speak. When they come together intimately, she is rejoining herself to him, and they become one. If you will look at the scriptures concerning marriage, they say the two have become one flesh. You can find that in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 24, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, and the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verse number 8. Well, this is akin to what Paul was saying that those that name the name of Christ should be seeking to do. We should be seeking to know Him so much so that we really want to be mirror images of Him in every area of our lives. Notice the word conformed. It means to be molded into His likeness. And why is this important? It is because it is these people that will attain all the blessings that God has promised to His saints. Let me ask you this. If I came to you with $1 million and told you that you could have as much of it as you wanted, but only if you would submit yourselves to doing whatever I said for you to do, morally, of course, how much would you follow my instructions, knowing that whatever percentage of my instructions you followed, that would be the percentage of the $1 million you would get. And suppose on the flip side of the coin, if you refuse to follow my directions, you would get nothing at the least and probably end up suffering loss of what you did have, up to and including your life. Would you seriously think about it? See, that's the whole thing, you know. People want to follow crime, you know, want to be Christians and things because they know about all of the blessings or believe that God has all these blessings for them and things, and they'll be free from worries and care, you know. I mean, you know, going to face trials and tribulations, true enough. But those that name the name of Christ, that are close to God, they suffer very little. They're always prosperous. They're always happy, really of sound mind, and going on, you know, living the life that God says his saints could live. And then we got the other people saying, well, how come he's doing all that for them, them and ain't doing nothing for me? It's because they are putting their whole heart and mind and soul into following God's directions, while you skipping around, doing whatever you feel like doing, giving God part of your time, and don't want to hear from him about anything. You want to go out and do your own thing because you think you know what's best for you and all that other stuff. And then when you wind up not getting anything, and you get disappointed in things and start talking about, hey, well, God don't do that stuff anymore. Well, yes, he does. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Problem is, what are you doing this got you in that position? See, that all boils down, it goes back to the same thing. What is in your heart? Well, that is the exact same position, like I said, that each and every one of us is in today when it comes down to our relationship or lack of thereof with God. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out which way to go when all the facts are laid out in front of them. Yet, believe it or not, the majority of us, and I'm talking about in the church now, the majority of us in the church actually want to argue that they don't need any direction from God or his blessings because they are going to do what they feel like doing. Now, I use the word majority, and some of you might be saying that that's a bit of a stretch. You say, look at all the people that are going to church. They profess they are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, not to mention those that say that they are Christians. Yeah, I see them, and there are a lot of them. However, as I mentioned last month, the evidence is not in what they say, but rather what they are doing. A majority of them have actions that don't line up with what they profess. Jesus put it like this in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse number 46. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The implication is, you are saying that I am your master, yet you refuse to do what I tell you. And if you think you are going to go on your own way to heaven, you are very sadly mistaken. One of the most quoted passages of Scripture that outlines the behavior of man, basically talking about in the church as it pertains to his relationship with Christ, is found in the book or letter of Romans, chapter number 1. In it, the apostle writes this. Go down to verse number 22. Now, this is Paul writing to the church. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now we're going to go down to verse number 28 and read down to verse number 32, where we find these words. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now see right here, you can see that God is, this is being addressed about Christian, because it says, for they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. In other words, these are people that knew God, knew about God, knew something about God. They went to church. They were raised in the church. But yet and still, these same people, the Bible addresses as being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness. And like I'm saying, this is not talking about the world, because the world already is known to be full of this. But this is not what's going on here. This is going on into the church. Because if you go to Romans, go down to verse number 32 again, where it says, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is talking about people that know, like I said, I knew the danger of lighting a match in that room full of explosives, because the warning signs and everything was there, and I knew it, and all I had to do is, with the warning there, don't light the match or cause a spark, and I walk out of there free and clear. But if I want to act a fool and say I'm going to do my own thing and light a match anyway, and the place blows up, I get injured or killed, hey, guess what? That's strictly on me, because I knew the warning signs. I knew what was right, what was wrong, what to do and what not to do. But I chose to ignore that and go out and do my own thing. And so I end up paying the price for it. So there's nothing left to be said. Now, as I said, if you will notice, like I said in verse 28, it sets the groundwork of what it is that causes God to essentially wash his hands of those that claim to be his people. It says they did not like to retain knowledge of him. In other words, they wanted figure, you know, they knew about the Old Testament hymn, but in the New Testament, all of that stuff, you know, that people are raised in with believing that the New Testament wipes out the fact that, that God doesn't do in the Old Testament what he, I mean, in the New Testament, what he did in the Old Testament. And so that part of the knowledge, they didn't want to understand that. They wanted to be free and clear to do what they wanted to do. And so what he did is he just turned them over and let them start believing what they wanted to believe in, and let them think what they want to think, all to the purpose of that in the end, they're going to end up paying the ultimate price by spending eternity separated from him in hell and then in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is, like the Bible says, is the second death. Colossians, what that means is that they at one time knew enough about him to make the determination that they didn't want to be bothered with him. In other words, they were presented all of the facts. They only wanted to take part of the facts. And the rest of it, they didn't want anything to do with. Well, that's going to come back to haunt them. That's why the Bible says that they're fools. Like I said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, and why was this that they didn't want to do it? It's because they liked the things that they were doing so much that they would rather continue in them than to become obedient to him. That's why. In life, there are certain things that are what I would call undeniable truths that everyone needs to accept and live by for things to go right in their lives. Number one, the first thing is God is in control of everything that happens in our lives. That means nothing good or bad can happen to us unless he allows it. Therefore, when things go bad, the first thing you need to do is find out what you may have been doing wrong for him to allow it to happen to you. In other words, now we all going to face tests and trials and things like this, and this does not come from God. This comes from the devil and from, you know, the natural occurrence of things. Everybody's going to face tests and trials, but the thing is, if you are getting more than your share of troubles and trials and tribulations, and while everybody else is getting delivered, and while people around you are getting delivered and things, and you still stuck in the same boat you in, and you wondering why God is causing you to have this happening to you and that happening, you losing family members to violence and diseases and things like that, losing your children, something like that, something is wrong that you are doing. And you need to find out what it is. That's the first thing you need to do, because like I said, if God is in control and nothing bad can happen to you unless he allows it to happen, and it's happening to you more than what would be considered normal, first thing you need to do is be on your knees asking, Lord, what am I doing? But then that carries with it the fact that when you ask him and he tells you this is what you're doing wrong, that's what you're doing wrong, you say, well, I don't know about all that. I don't know. I think I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing and just have to deal with it or find some other way for relief. Yeah, you can keep on doing that. After a while, he won't answer you at all. And then you'd be left to be trying to figure out how to get out of your mess. your own way, and the only thing you be doing is digging a deeper ditch for yourself. So that's the first thing you need to do. God is in control, so you need to seek him and his word to find out what you might be doing wrong. Number two, no one can make a righteous or rational decision about their circumstances in life based on partial information. This means that just like in a court of law, judges and juries have to have all of the facts, both pro and con, before they can be expected to make a right decision about the matter that's before them. Therefore, if you are wondering why things are going so wrong in your life, you might need to take an honest look at both sides of the issue. What are you doing before blaming your problems on someone else? See, we get into that all the time, especially in the black community. I mean, you know, everything be going wrong in the black community. First thing come out of somebody's mouth is systemic racism. Donald Trump, the Republicans, this, that, and other, you know. It's always somebody else. Can't be the fact that we doing something wrong, because we're basically don't have all of the facts. Like I said, for it, like in part one there, number one, where it says where they did not like to earlier when I said the people in Romans, where it said they did not like to retain knowledge. If you remove everything that God had to say in the Old Testament and what he was doing in the New Testament and only go by what you see in the New Testament, you're going off with half knowledge, partial knowledge, and that's where could be one of your problems right there, is because you don't have all of the facts. You did not like to retain that knowledge because it was unpleasant for you, so you chose not to want to deal with it, and so God just turned you over to a reprobate mind where you just completely forgotten, and you out here doing whatever you doing, trying to get ahead or whatever it is, and nothing's working. That's why, because you are don't want to have, you know, we're operating on half of the facts, don't have all the facts. Number three, if you are believing or living a lie as it relates to what God says is right and wrong, then nothing you try to do short of coming back to God will bring you success. You can go to the most prestigious schools and universities, have all the degrees that they offer, become the most powerful and wealthiest person in the nation, or the world for that matter, and still be an idiot whose end will be their destruction. Why? Because if you are running afoul of God's direction, at some point in time, destruction is waiting for you. The Bible tells us in plain detail what is waiting for what it describes as fools. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Then we go to Proverbs 14 and 12. And Proverbs 16 and 25, both of these scriptures say the exact same thing, and that is, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. People, these two scriptures, along with the subject verse, are so plain that you would have to hire a lawyer to help you misunderstand them. no offense to a lot of lawyers, but do you see the point? Despite all that God says about our situation in this nation, would you believe that most of those that name the name of Christ are actually living lives that are contrary to these and other scriptures? And as Jesus once said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, it said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all those that are in the house." Verse number 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, God has put the church here to be the guiding light or ship for mankind to get back to Him and have prosperous and successful lives, being capped off by eternity with Him in heaven. Yet, the world, in most instances, is looking at and following a ship, so to speak, or light that is operated by fools that have no idea of what is waiting for them, even though the warning bells and whistles are sounding the alarm, danger ahead, turn back. Their response is, "Pay no attention, everything is fine, those alarms mean nothing, they are installed by the white man, Republicans, the Uncle Toms, the coons, the sellouts, and others such as them." See, in other words, there's always somebody else. As mentioned in one of the above scriptures, fools despise wisdom and instruction. And in the case of the black community in this nation, that has proven to be as clear an example as there can be. Preachers in leadership continually ignoring all the warning signs that something is wrong with what they are saying and doing, but they don't want to hear it. Wake up. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry closing out this message on a ship of fools, part number 2. I hope you got something from this message. And as usual, in closing, I would like to say, may God bless you and your families real good as you go on with your lives. Good day.